As we continue on now with our study through the prophet Isaiah, we're in chapter 36. And we'll see from chapter 36 to chapter 39 inclusive is all history, not prophecy, strictly speaking. And chapter 39 actually concludes the first half of Isaiah. And chapter 40 takes up the second half of Isaiah right to the end of the book, to chapter 66. So basically you can divide Isaiah into these two major portions, chapter 1 to 39, chapter 40 to chapter 66. So what I'm going to do with this study is just look at chapters 36 and 37 together rather than just the one chapter. I want to see if I can get through both chapters because it's really all of one piece. Now, we often say, and it's true, that there are no chapters and verses in the original text of the Bible. And it's really evident here that chapter 36 and 37 is all one event, one story. It's about the story of the attack of the Assyrians in 701 BC against the southern part of Israel, against Judah, and in particular the city of Jerusalem. And so it's history. In fact, this account you can find in one of the historical books of the Old Testament. That's in 2 Kings chapter 18. So many of the details that are in 2 Kings chapter 18 we'll find here in chapters 36 and 37 of Isaiah. Now, a quarter of a century before what happens here in chapter 36 and 37, the Assyrians had come down and taken Samaria or Ephraim, the northern tribes of Israel, the so-called ten lost tribes, as we call them now, but the ten northern tribes, and taken them into captivity, hauled them away to the land of Assyria, about approximately 20 to 25 years previous to the account here. So this chapter 36 opens up in around 701 BC, and the Assyrians had come down under King Sennacherib, who was really the last great king of Assyria. And the Assyrian kingdom would eventually fall and be taken place by the Babylonian Empire, which would begin the so-called times of the Gentiles. And we'll get to that later on another study. But so Sennacherib comes down and he devours all the towns and cities of Judah right up until the city of Jerusalem. So now he's surrounding the city of Jerusalem. He's outside the walls of the city. And he's in another area of Judah himself personally, and he sends his commander or his official, one of his officials by the name of Rabshakeh, up to Jerusalem to sort of get them to lay siege and get them to surrender over to him without a battle. Actually, this Rabshakeh could maybe actually an official title, not as the man's personal name. And some translations actually call him the Rabshakeh. Anyway, this Rabshakeh, he speaks to the officials of Jerusalem who are standing on the wall of the city, and basically mocking Hezekiah for his stand. Hezekiah was a very godly man, a godly king. He had purged the land of Judah of idols. He had purged the temple of idols, had restored the worship of the Lord to the people of Israel, recovered the book of God from the temple that had been sort of just laying there covered with dust and rubble. And so this Rabshakeh says, in behalf of the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, he says in verse 16, "Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make an agreement to me by a present," in other words, give a gift, "and come out to me." And he promises them, you know, he'll treat them well and everything, and then eventually carry them away into a good land, the land of Assyria. And then verse 18, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying the Lord will deliver us." He's saying, don't listen to King Hezekiah. He'll say that the Lord will deliver us, but don't listen to that at all, because the Lord hasn't delivered anybody from my hand. And as a proof, he mentions the Samaritans in verse 19, the people of Samaria, I should say, or the northern tribes of Israel. Did the Lord deliver them out of my hand? And so on. But we see that the officials of Judah in verse 21 of Jerusalem, they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king had told them, don't answer this guy. In fact, at one point they ask him not to speak in the Hebrew language, but speak to them in Aramaic, because they understand Aramaic, because they didn't want the people inside the city being filled with fear and so on. And maybe there would be a revolt, you know, and say, yeah, let's surrender to the king of Assyria. Maybe it would be better to do that. So as we open chapter 37, we find that King Hezekiah, when he heard this, he went into the house of the Lord, verse 1. That's an important point. He goes into the house of the Lord. The first thing that Hezekiah does, he goes into the presence of God when he hears the attack of the enemy. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He attacks the brethren. He attacks the believers. You know, he brings up charges and accusations against the brethren. And he tries to undermine our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. But Hezekiah's first move is to go into the presence of God. And secondly, he calls for Isaiah the prophet in verse 2. That's basically he's wanting to hear from God. He turns now to the Word of God. Of course, he didn't have a Bible like we have, a complete Bible. He had the Old Testament law, perhaps most of the Psalms or three quarters of the Psalms, and some of the historical portions. But he turned to Isaiah. If he wanted to hear the Word of the Lord, he would turn to the prophet. So he turns to Isaiah, and Isaiah gives him an answer, and basically tells him, you know, to trust in the Lord. Meanwhile, we get this Rabbi Shechah coming up again and giving Hezekiah a letter and telling him, you know, verse 10 of chapter 37, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them utterly, and so on. Now, what Rabbi Shechah is doing is he's officially giving a letter saying the same thing to Hezekiah that he told the officials on the wall. But what I love about Hezekiah here is that we get Hezekiah taking the letter in verse 14, taking the letter from the king of Assyria, delivered by Rabbi Shechah, and he took it from the hand of the messengers, it says in verse 14, and he read it. And then Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I love that. He spreads this letter from the king of Assyria before the Lord. Someone has said, can God read? I mean, why did Hezekiah spread the letter before the Lord? And so what Hezekiah was doing here, in effect, was saying, here, Lord, read it for yourself. I love that. I love how Hezekiah brings the problem, brings the difficulty to the Lord. And that's true for us too, dear brothers and sisters. Our difficulties, our perplexities. There's lots of things that happen in our life, in the life of a Christian, that perplexes us and causes, could be a potential stumbling block, a great trial coming before us. And what do we do? What are we going to do with this? And the enemy has made an accusation. You know, God's not going to help you. God's not going to deliver you. God's not for you. God's not with you. You know, well, let's just spread that before the Lord and see what he has to say. And then surely he will give us an answer. But then we get the detailed answer from Isaiah to Hezekiah. Really, it's the answer of the Lord, from the Lord to Hezekiah. And that answer comes between verse 22 and verse 35. We get this detailed answer. And basically what the Lord tells Hezekiah is, says, no, I'm going to deliver you. You're going to be protected by me. And we get an amazing like word in verse 31, a prophecy. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do us. What God is saying here is he'll preserve a remnant of the house of Judah. And in fact, that's really exactly what happened, because as we know that the northern tribes were taken to captivity, and we haven't really heard too much about them, but the people of Israel, they were spared from this attack from the king of Assyria. And later we'll see they would eventually be taken into captivity to Babylon. But then even there, a remnant were brought back into the land and planted in the land, waiting for a Messiah to come. A Messiah came, but the majority rejected him. But yet even there, there was a remnant that believed on him. And they became the nucleus of the Christian church. But now Israel has been brought back in the land again, yet in unbelief. But a remnant will be raised up amongst them who will be ready for the appearing of Messiah in glory when he comes again with the church who he has previously taken up in the rapture. But so we get this promise, and the promise was specifically for the people of that time. Basically, if we want to understand it in that light, in that context strictly, is that, no, the Assyrian will fall. He's not going to take into captivity. You'll be able to go back to your farms, plant your crops, put your roots back down. All the trouble will pass, and you will spring up again. So there is that immediate fulfillment. But I think the Holy Spirit is taking the long-term view here as well about the remnant, the godly remnant of the people of Israel. And so we see the Lord's faithfulness there to his people. And then we get this interesting conclusion. Verse 36 to 38, we have the fulfillment of the Lord's word to Hezekiah. You know, it says in verse 33, for example, "Therefore thus saith the Lord through the prophet Isaiah concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields or cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, the same way he will return, and shall not come up into the city, says the Lord." So there's the straightforward a prophecy. That's the conclusion from Isaiah, what will happen. The Lord says, no, he's not going to come. He's not going to take you. In fact, earlier in the book of Isaiah, we get that in chapter 8, verse 8. It says, "Speaking of the king of Assyria, the prophecy says, and he shall pass through Judah." That's what we've seen. He has already taken Judah. And he will overflow and go over. "And he shall reach unto the neck." That is, he'll come up to Jerusalem, up to the neck. The head is Jerusalem, the capital. But only up to the neck. He would overflow. He will not overflow Jerusalem. He will not take Jerusalem. And there's other prophecies in Isaiah speaking the same thing. And so Jerusalem would be delivered. This is the word of the Lord that we get from Isaiah in verse 22 to verse 35. He says in verse 35, "For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." He had made promises to David that there would be the light would not go out in Judah. But now again, as I mentioned, verse 36 to 38, we have the actual conclusion. And we see that the angel of the Lord came, one angel, just as the angel of the Lord came, and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 of them were smitten by the angel of the Lord. And so in the morning, they were all dead carcasses on the ground around about the walls of Jerusalem. And so Sennacherib, verse 37, he departed and he went and he returned to Nineveh, back up the capital city of Assyria. And we find in verse 38, some 20 years later, Sennacherib is assassinated by two of his sons. And so that's the conclusion of this event. And the Lord delivered Jerusalem, and he honored godly Hezekiah. You know, I was struck with that, brothers and sisters, one time, with this fact. You know, when the Lord Jesus was in the garden the night that he was arrested, and Peter drew out a sword to defend the Lord Jesus, and the Lord told Peter, "No, Peter, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Put your sword back in the sheath." He says, "Don't you know that I could ask my Father and he could send now 12 legions of angels?" And a legion, a Roman legion, was between 3,000 and 6,000 men. So if we just average that to 5,000 men, then 12 legions would be 60,000. The Lord said, "I could send 60,000 angels." Or the Father, if I asked him, could send 60,000 angels to deliver me. We can see in this passage before us in Isaiah chapter 37 what one angel was capable of on one night, killing 185,000 of the hosts of Assyria. We see also in the book of Revelation where seven angels virtually destroy the whole world. So imagine if the 12 legions of angels had come. But that was not to be, for God did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, that we may be delivered from a greater enemy than the king of Assyria, even from the devil and his emissaries, and from our own sins, and from this present evil age. May the Lord encourage you today. Trust the Lord, spread it before the Lord, open the letter before the Lord, and leave it to him to make the way of deliverance. Amen.